So the, 2021, you led a wildly successful campaign for Texas State. So I'm curious about the research that went into understanding the prospective audience in order to authentically connect with them.
So I think the maybe the thing to start out with is I have a maybe a much broader view of like what research is than maybe what is traditional for our industry. Like I really love that like Steve Jobs quote about like, people don't know what they want until you show them. So you have, and that's where really kind of like building intuition comes in, and understanding like your target as like maybe a human being that goes beyond like the numbers and the that come from like a big research project. So prior to my arrival, they had done an image and awareness survey, but it was really kind of statewide, to understand like Texas State's market position and how it existed within the mind of consumers. And what they found was that for those under the age of 40, they have a really positive perception of the university. And those 40 and above really think of it poorly as like a party school or not that great academically. And part of that is because we had the same president for 20 years, and she really kind of grew the place up during that time period. So now those graduates are going into the market, they're becoming alums, and they have a much different perspective of Texas State. But then we also produce the most teachers of any school in Texas. So those teachers go out into, the communities where they come from, and they are able to really kind of talk about their time there, which has started to shift our perception amongst perspectives and their parents. So that was really kind of foundational in the new brand, is that like we're a young university. We have a very kind of future-oriented personality, whereas like you look at UT, which I'm an alum of now, you look at Texas A&M, and they're very steeped and rooted in like tradition, and we wanted to stand up we have our own traditions, we have our own heritage, but we also wanted to kind of really stand for the future. And that's was really instructive in the campaign. But as far as like research is concerned, I do a lot of like intuition building through just like observation, right? Like sometimes just going out on the campus and just kind of watching and being thoughtful about what you're seeing, paying attention to kind of what's happening in pop culture, trying to consume some of the same content and same media that your target is. And when I say this, Texas State Next was very much an enrollment campaign when it was conceived, that became a brand campaign. So, I'm talking mainly about prospective students and young alums. Social listening is a big one too, right? Like, what are the conversations that are happening online about our brand, about our university amongst that target? We do a lot of co-creation with students. We also act as clients for some of the classes that are there. So it's always interesting to for me to see like some of the ideas that come from our interns and some of the ideas that come from these classes that we'll collaborate with. And then, like even stuff like, I'll talk to my kids about like, what's the newest meme, and like what do you think about Drake and Kendrick Lamar and their beef? And it's just like having conversations and building, as I said, intuition about your target audience. And it goes beyond the like, hey, I'm gonna hire insert agency name here, and they're gonna do a perception survey, and then we're gonna go to the cabinet and we're gonna say, well, 40% of students, think we're really great, but like, but why? And what values do we embody, or what is it about us that make us really great in their minds? And I think it requires getting beyond, the prefrontal cortex, which makes all of our logical and rational decisions, and trying to get to the, the first order thinking, which happens in your like limbic system, your lizard brain, which makes all of our emotional decisions for us. And I think you really need to get to that deeper level in order to do really great work.
Yeah, that's so That's so insightful. And I'm thinking about, from my personal experience, having my son, my older son, go through the whole sort of getting all the materials and going on the campus visits. And, we just on one weekend, we went to two different schools and we walked away. And his going into that weekend, his number one goal is I need to graduate with no debt. And we came out of the weekend and he picked the school that was going to leave him with a lot of debt. And he was like, I got to figure this out. I got to figure out how to go to that school. And it was like, there was just, the whole experience of that being there that day.
Because he felt it, right? He felt like it was the place for him. He f probably felt like it was the community for him, felt
Right.
like it was home for him, right? And then that sort of logical thing of like graduating without debt maybe takes a less more of a backseat to like his emotions and wanting to feel like he's part of that community, right? And that's what we're always trying to do is build that emotional
And
connection.
that's so, I mean, that's so true because that you're saying about the, intuition-based research. I haven't heard that term, but I think about it, when we're creating, branding a university, I mean, you're branding a place. I wrote an article like, can you brand a university? I mean, you're talking about this place, so how do you get to capturing that place? And it isn't as much through, I think, the sort of quantitative research. It's that qualitative research of the listening tours, the like when we do magazine redesigns, we always, when we can, we do a site visit, and just the vibe that we take away from being there so influences our design directions.
And it's funny because like being on AMA, right? And having more of a creative background, like I will talk a lot about vibe and energy, like what is the energy this brand exudes. Because I do think universities can lean in that direction more because we're not a CPG, right? Like people are choosing based off of emotional resonance. And a lot of people, look at me like I'm crazy, but I think you do need that sort of like maybe mix of like you look at marketing less as science and more as art and
Yes.
more about like empathy and human connection as opposed to like metrics and engagement rate and some of these kind of like more hard marketing metric kind of things.
Right. No, I totally agree. So then, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but the approach for then the Texas State campaign, Texas State Next. So you have that research, and then what do you do?
We decided higher education in Texas is like wildly competitive. It is super duper competitive here. There are tons of institutions. We're a state that's still growing. So as like other states are dealing with population declines and declines in the number of students that they can possibly enroll and recruit, they're looking to states like Texas that are still growing to, make their numbers. So we realized that we had to do we had to do something really distinctive, right? We had to stand apart on our own and be a clear choice between, I'm going to use the word number three in applications usually. So, like UT and Texas A&M, they very much have their own kind of distinct identities that have been brought up over time. We're a younger university. Again, in terms of our growth, we're older, but we grew so much in the last 20 years that we really had to be like, okay, what is it about Texas State that makes us truly unique and distinctive that people could just like see it and know us, right? Or hear about something and know that it's us. Because everybody has like the beautiful campus and the award-winning faculty and a really great engineering building, which are all like product differentiators. So what we've talked about is the idea of building a brand based on distinction over differentiation. So that was really the guiding principle, for us. And, those points of distinction became things like, well, even very tactical things like, we have an acronym that like nobody else in the world has. So you could go to Acronym Finder and like you look up TXST, Texas State is the only institution, which is interesting coming from Colorado State where it was CSU and we recruit in California. And they'd be like, well, where's CSU Fort Collins? Is that like over by Sacramento? Or, it was that kind of thing. So that was a tactical distinctive piece of identity or equity that we built upon. Even to like more maybe things that were underneath the surface and not readily apparent, right? So 40, almost half of our students are the first in their families to go to college. So this idea of like upward social mobility was really key to us in the brand campaign, and we really tried to kind of bring that out through it as a distinctive part of this university. So the thing that I would tell to like any marketer, any brand builder as they're building a brand campaign, like your differentiators, I believe, are like the reason to validate your decision, or consumers use to validate the decision. The distinctiveness of the brand is, and which is what you need to build, express, because your brand should be distinctive anyway. You just got to figure out what's distinctive about it. Is how people are going to make kind of the upfront big decision. So, like I may go buy like a new iPhone over an Android because of, the all the cachet that the brand has and how it's truly distinctive. But then I'll use things like the megapixels in the camera and how, great the processor is and all the apps I can access as differentiated points to basically tell myself I made a good decision in making that purchase.
That's interesting. All right, another good distinction for me. I'm building my, I'm going to mushroom off of your thought leadership. I love the, instinctual and distinction. And so going off of that, I mean, you talked a little bit about the audience, but I've heard you, and it was, I believe, in that podcast, but referred to creating marketing for higher ed as you are doing like lifestyle for youth, or I don't think I have that term exactly right, but I thought that was really interesting. If you could talk a little bit about that approach.
So, in my opinion, all of the best higher ed branding and marketing is approached like it's a lifestyle brand. And you think about like lifestyle brands, they're, like Patagonia and how it really kind of stands for like being outdoors and part of the natural world. Like Nike is a lifestyle brand. It's about like championing the athlete inside everyone. Here in Texas, we have this grocery store chain called H-E-B. That celebrates in all things Texas. So, they have like I guess T-bone steaks that are in the shape of Texas that you can buy, and they carry all Texas products in addition to the national stuff. So they have a lifestyle that they built around their brands that people gravitate to because they view themselves as being part of that lifestyle, or they view themselves as being part of that culture. So the cool thing about higher ed, right, is that you're marketing to young people on the enrollment side. I think that young people, subcultures come up quickly through teens and through young people, and new attitudes and new perspectives come up through young people. Like you think about like Gen Z and how they view, even things like gender identity, right, is completely different than like my generation as a millennial. And I think that if you're kind of in tune with some of that, and I know maybe it's not gender identity specifically, but just this idea of being inclusive, right? Universities have talked about being inclusive for a long time, but what does that mean within the context of this current generation? Because they have maybe a broader, more expansive view of what inclusion looks like versus past generations that have gone before. So I guess like when I'm talking about that, I'm really talking about like values and putting your values forward. Like what is it that you stand for? And then how do you encase like a lifestyle around that? And then the people that, share those values and want that to be their lifestyle, want that to be their culture, their community, ultimately are drawn to the institution. So it's more about like the energy you put out into the world and less about the messaging that you can put out. And when you move into that sort of lifestyle values piece, it allows you to do things like, well, we're going to do, instead of just putting logo on a bunch of t-shirts, we're going to actually design apparel that people that share these beliefs or people that, you know, will want to wear, right? Like that our community would want to wear. When we do a podcast, we're not just gonna, you know, do a podcast about, you know, some research topic that we have that maybe not a lot of people are interested in. We're gonna do a podcast about the things that our community wants to hear because, again, you're building like a lifestyle around your brand.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's interesting for me because when I think about like the work that I've done, whenever I've thought about the studio, like what are some parallel markets we could move into? I've thought about like travel, and because it's like, you know, we're getting to know a place and capture that place through communications to get people to go there. Like when we're doing admissions materials, like the goal is to get somebody to go to the school because once they go, that's,
Foot
you
on
know,
campus, set foot on campus, right?
get on campus. Yeah, that's the game changer. So this is something that came up on the how the F did you get that job? You note that there are alternative pathways to upward mobility and prosperity. And I've been thinking about, you know, just in my work, working with independent schools, working with higher ed, you know, how can we create communications and legitimize other pathways for people? How can we destigmatize, you know, going to vocational school or, you know, going to a community college? You know, how can we sort of, I don't know, as an industry, work to help people, like, what's the right path for you?
That was interesting to me because it's like something that I believe personally, right? That more universities are coming to terms with that, you know, it's about mission fit students or it's about finding the right students. And that's where that idea of lifestyle building and culture building and community building come through, right? People can self-select. But there was kind of some context missing from that, you know, because like I really do believe that a 4-year college degree is the best thing that a student could do, particularly to create mo social mobility in their life. That's my story for sure. You know, I mean, what the data shows that like, you know, your bachelor's degree holding student will earn, you know, more than $1 million more over the course of their lifetime than, you know, their classmate who only has an associate's or a high school diploma. And you know, when recessions happen, the people with the 4-year degree are going to be it, they're laid, it hits them less hard. They're laid off less at a lesser rate than those without the education. And then when the economy comes back, they're hired more quickly. So you know, it's super duper powerful, and I don't mean to like downplay it at all, but there's also like the idea of like aspirations, right? And I think there's a careful balance between understanding like there are other paths to prosperity and maybe having students think that college is not right for them because, you know, it's too aspirational. And that's where the battle around standardized testing comes in. You know, like some students maybe they don't test well, or maybe some students don't have the same resources and they're from disadvantaged backgrounds. And they don't do as well on the SAT or the ACT, and they don't get into the institution that they want to get into, but maybe are clearly capable to succeed and thrive in with a little bit of support. So I do think that we have to be careful around that stuff, and we do have to maintain aspirations and not like kind of lock students in early. I guess it's like the pendulum swinging the other way, right? We try to lock students into college. And now that we realize it's not for everyone, I just want to make sure that we're like not going far the other way and trying to lock students into not being. But you know, we do things here at Texas State, like we have a transfer program with community colleges in the area where students can start at like Austin Community College, get their associate's degree, and then transfer into Texas State basically as a junior and then finish up their major. So I really love programs like that help students. I don't know per se if it's like the responsibility, ability of higher education or education industry per se to like destigmatize. But I do think in culture with parents and with teachers and community members, like just getting kids to understand that maybe there are other pathways, right? So that one's, like it's something that I believe, but I think that there's a lot of nuance that needs to be considered. It's complicated, right?
It is complicated, and I agree with you, like you don't want to swing too far. And I think right now, United States is in a place of just such criticism over
Yes.
higher ed. And we have a lot of liberal arts college clients, and it's like, no, what's the value of still going to college and exploring different things? Like I have a friend I was talking to last week, and her daughter, who scored almost a perfect score on the ACT, is taking a gap year because she feels like the school she was applying to like demanded for her to like claim her major right away, know what she wanted to do. And she's like, I don't know. I just want to go to college and learn and grow.
I really do believe, and this may seem counterintuitive, but I really do believe that the liberal arts are going to make a big comeback. And I really, really am here for it, and I hope that it happens because as we look at like technology, right, and AI, right? So like AI is supposedly a much better coder than like your average person, and it doesn't need to eat, it doesn't need to sleep, it's always on. And you saw, as ChatGPT and AI became more prevalent, a lot of the tech companies, Meta, Google, they all started kind of laying people off because they were going to rely on automation and AI to do a lot of those tasks, and their stock value like shot through the roof because they maintained their profits while cutting their overhead, their costs of employees, right? But the thing that AI cannot do is what the liberal arts teach us, the humanities teach us, which is, how to connect with other people and how to think critically about some of these topics. Our country is like super duper polarized right now, and it's because we're not like doing the humanities and the liberal arts. So I think that, if liberal arts institutions can get their minds around how to tell that story and how to carve out that position, I think a lot of people are going to be like, well, yes, of course. Like for my kids, my wife and I were talking about it. We don't even know how to steer our kids in what direction to go. Like before, it would be like, well, go be an engineer, go be a lawyer, go be a doctor. But AI has completely changed all of that. So we're just encouraging our kids like to find things. It's corny, but like, they used to tell people to follow their passion, but we've been talking to our kids more about like, well, what is it that you're interested in? And then how can you apply that in like a very humanistic kind of way? So my daughter wants to be an artist, and my son, I think he wants to do something in social services. So I think that AI is changing a lot of that, and liberal arts universities can capitalize on.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and I think one of the things, so right here, in Albany, the College of St. Rose just closed. My husband's teaching there. My two designers went there. I hired over the time I've been here since 2011, I've hired 10 or 11 graduates, from there, and or had interns, and just an amazing program. But I think the school really failed to tell its story well. I think it tried to be everything like, oh wait, we need a nursing program. Oh wait, we need, cybersecurity. And it's like, no, just understand like who is who, and this kind of leads to my next question, but like who is your target audience? Like, when Chris was applying for a job here, I was like, well, who goes to school, in Albany, New York, when you've got like New York City and Boston, and you really get to understand who that demographic is. And if they had really focused in on that and marketed to the demographic instead of trying to like, expand the school.
Or even like what makes the University of St. Rose different, right? So And I think that's where like brand distinction comes in. And if you don't have a lot of brand distinction within your brand, like how do you build it in? What's that school? I'm gonna look it up now. There's a school that has this program called like Flight Path, which allows students to design their own degree,
Oh,
which is
okay.
really kind of interesting and cool. And not a lot of schools are doing that. It's a liberal arts school.
It rings a bell.
Yeah, and I'll have to send it to you, but I thought it was really like amazing. And it was like clearly a differentiated thing that they could build a brand around is this idea of, like colleges kind of choose your own adventure and ultimately getting to
Right.
it. It's not built to put you into a box around degrees we offer, but rather how can, with our available resources, how can we curate and get you the best experience possible so you get the skills and the knowledge that you want when you get out of college, which takes universities back to a place of like building knowledge and building life skills as opposed to just like credentialing.
Right.
So, I would say like the universities start by knowing yourself before you even like know who your target audience
Yeah.
is, or like thinking about your target audience. What is it that makes you distinctive? What is it that makes you unique? Why do students choose you? Beyond it just felt like home,
Right.
I think if you understand who you are, you'll understand who your students are.